Word of mouth.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. David Hungerford may have been taking a shortcut when he detected a single human cell with a missing piece of DNA. It was in Philadelphia, 1959, and Hungerford had no way of knowing that he had stumbled upon the starting point of modern cancer research. It wasn't until 1990 that the Philadelphia chromosome was recognized as the sole cause of a deadly blood cancer called chronic myeloid leukemia, or CML. This dramatic discovery launched a race involving doctors and researchers around the world who brought about the first ever successful treatment of a lethal cancer at the genetic level. In a new book called The Philadelphia Chromosome, writer and blogger Jessica Wapner follows the people and the breakthroughs that could save the lives of some 50,000 people diagnosed with CML each year. Jessica Wapner, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me. Hi.
So what is CML and how many people are affected by it?
CML, chronic myeloid leukemia, is a fatal cancer of the white blood cells. Abnormal white blood cells fill up the bone marrow, leaving no room for healthy blood cells, red or white. And it's diagnosed in about 5,000 people per year in the United States. Worldwide, about one or two per 100,000, so anywhere up to 75,000 per year.
Well, your book traces through 40 years of development of the drug and treatment for CML, but give us a sense of where cancer research and treatment were back in 1959 when the discovery was first made.
Well, the most significant idea relevant to this book is that at that time, nobody had any idea about how genetics was connected to cancer. Nobody was thinking of cancer as genetic disease. And you can see that today we're starting to see it that way more and more. This story is the origin behind that. It shows how chronicling the research that led to the realization that cancer is a genetic disease.
What exactly did Hungerford find?
He was looking through the microscope. He was this classic old school scientist who just loved to observe. And so day in, day out, he looked through microscopes at samples of chromosomes from all kinds of places. One day, he and his colleague Peter Knoll were studying cells from patients with CML, and he noticed that one of the chromosomes, which we would later know as chromosome 22, was a little bit too small. He was one of the only people in the whole world who could have spotted that abnormality.
Now, his research, that discovery pretty much lay dormant until the 1970s. Why interest at that time? Why was it suddenly rediscovered?
Right, because at that time in 1970, 1971, a new technique called banding was becoming available. Banding uses a fluorescent dye and fluorescent microscopes that allows people not just to look at chromosomes, but to see inside chromosomes. Janet Rowley, a scientist in the University of Chicago, had learned this technique and brought it back to her work at looking at CML cells, and she spotted that the Philadelphia chromosome, this mutation that David Hungerford had spotted, involved not just an abnormally small chromosome 22, but also an extra long chromosome 9. So she was the first person to realize that this was what's called a translocation, two chromosomes swapping a tiny amount of material. And that little change was enough to cause this deadly cancer.
Janet Rowley is just one of many, many fascinating characters in the book. There are some wonderful, Peyton Roos, he's a 19th century scientist that really stirs up some interest. One that you follow, however, through the book is named Brian Druker. Now, he was just starting medical school back in the 1970s when this new discovery was made. What was his eventual role in the treatment of CML?
Brian Druker was absolutely instrumental in ushering into the world the drug called Gleevec, which is at the heart of this book. CML patients around the world credit Brian Druker with saving their lives because he fought so hard to get this drug into clinical trials and to the patients that needed it.
We're talking about the milestones and breakthroughs that led to the development of the first ever successful treatment of a lethal cancer at the genetic level. It's a pretty much 40-year odyssey charted with a lot of suspense and made understandable by Jessica Wapner. She's our guest. Her new book is called The Philadelphia Chromosome, A Mutant Gene and the Quest to Cure Cancer at the Genetic Level. Okay, so you talk about the development of this drug, Gleevec. And by the way, we should note that your blog, Work in Progress, is largely devoted to the ethics and economics of drug development. Now, Gleevec almost did not even come to market. Give us a little bit on the development of the drug and the industry that you cover.
Right. Well, I mean, and that's where the story becomes this mystery thriller, right? Because we talk about the science, Janet Rowley, David Hungerford, Peyton Rouse, and then it changes to this question of how will this drug get made? Where once they have this idea, they see how the chromosome causes CML. They have the full picture available. And some people, including Brian Druker, are thinking, let's make a drug to target that. And the question of how that happens and whether it will happen is not easily answered, in part because this was an entirely new way to treat cancer, and that carried a lot of risk, so many unknowns, and also because CML is a rare disease. So marketing, right, is saying, how are we going to get the money back? There's no way that we're going to earn back the investment on this drug for a disease that is diagnosed in 5,000 people in the U.S. each year, very few people worldwide. To put that in perspective, breast cancer is diagnosed in about 230,000 people each year just in the United States. So CML is just a tiny market, and they can't see how is the drug going to make any money. And so they hesitated for a very long time. It took a very long time. They did the right thing in the end, but the story of how that right thing happened is absolutely compelling.
Well, it's extremely costly, too. How much is a treatment of, let's say, 400 milligrams a day, which can keep CML at bay? How much does that cost now?
Well, so there's second and third generation versions of Gleevec. And in the United States, those drugs cost up to $100,000 per year for a patient.
Tell us about one patient who benefited from the drug. There are several in the book, but Gary Eichner is one that you write about. It's just a really compelling story.
That's right. Gary Eichner, I met him and I watched him undergo a bone marrow biopsy, which I write about in the beginning of the book. What I loved about his story was that here's this man who's being diagnosed with CML. It's an unpredictable and unpreventable disease. So just like anybody else, he's, you know, out of the blue, like, oh, sorry, you have leukemia. And he turns out to be a dream candidate for this drug. But then again, every person with this disease is pretty much a dream candidate, which is one of the remarkable things about this story, is how well it works for everybody. And he is undergoing treatment today, so he doesn't know anything about this research. He doesn't know that this was an accidental discovery or how hard people fought for this drug to get made or that it almost didn't get made. Mm-hmm. If he had been diagnosed 10 years ago, 20 years ago, he would be dead by now. Now he can tell his son, for at least the next 10 years, we're good. I'm here.
In his introduction to your book, Dr. Robert Weinberg, he refers to the Philadelphia chromosome as the poster child of cancer research. Now, why, Jessica, is this different than other cancers and other drug treatments? Why have other developments fallen short?
Well, one of the reasons why is because cancer is a complicated disease. The reason why we would call this the poster child, or as I talk about in the book, is a proof of principle, is because it is so dramatically driven by one single genetic mutation. It's a one gene, one disease connection. Most types of cancer have many genetic mutations at play. And figuring out which one of those is driving the cancer, which are the genetic drivers of the disease, and then finding a drug to target that just takes a long time. So this book brings us to this era of what researchers are now looking for in cancer.
And an era when we have, you know, figures like Angelina Jolie in the news. Of course, This has been done by many other people besides a Hollywood celebrity, able to get a test for BRCA1 and 2 mutations.
BRCA, that's right. Mm-hmm.
And this is something that is possible because of research like the Philadelphia chromosome. Have I got that right?
Yes, correct. This is a story of a drug, right? The first drug. The drug targets the mutant protein encoded by the mutant gene. When we hear about anything related to genetics and cancer, this is how that all began. This is where it all comes from. So, you know, I think it's essential to equip ourselves with knowledge to think about these things, because genetics is becoming an increasingly important part of our health care, as events like Angelina Jolie's report in the New York Times, disclosure in the New York Times, shows us.
I've got a minute left here, Jessica, but I really do want to ask you, you know, could there be other discoveries languishing in labs for 40 years? Do we know what's out there?
We would never know, and that's why funding basic research, supporting basic research, being okay with the fact that not everything leads to a result right away is so important. You know, as one of the researchers put it to me, you know, a good research, a good experiment is never wasted. And yes, we need to look at things in terms of where is it going to lead to and try to get results faster. But at the same time, if you have, you know, some good question being asked and answered with solid science, eventually it will lead somewhere.
Jessica Wappner writes about healthcare and medicine and blogs about the ethics and economics of drug development at Work in Progress. Her new book is called The Philadelphia Chromosome, A Mutant Gene and the Quest to Cure Cancer at the Genetic Level. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
There's much more on her work, including more on the book at wordofmouthradio.org. Now coming up, the diseases of the soul and spirit are difficult to diagnose and to heal. We're going to hear about a woman who found recovery in an altogether different source, a horse. That's when Word of Mouth continues.